This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
CBS Sports Radio.
I grew up a diehard, a diehard Laker fan. Diehard. I knew everything about every player that's ever played here. So to be drafted and then traded to this organization and to spend 20 years here, you can't write something better than this.
The ovation for Kobe Bryant, who is being substituted for and is being hugged all around by both teams.
I enjoy the physicality of it. It's not, playing against him, it's fun to, because of his size, it's always fun to bump with him and to have that physicality and backing him down and then him driving and bumping and all that stuff. It's fun.
Kobe Bryant on playing against another GOAT, one of the greats, in LeBron James. Welcome back to a very different DA show today. And for obvious reasons, today is about remembering and saluting, honoring life and career of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gigi as well, and all of the 9 victims on board yesterday, that tragic helicopter crash. Thanks for being with us on a very difficult Monday morning for everybody here on the DA Show. Damon Amendolara with you. And I think it's a little easier to process these types of things when you do them together. So I appreciate all of the listeners that have already weighed in after hour number one, both on the phones and on social media as well. It's been very helpful to hear from you guys and to share this grief together. So I encourage you to continue sharing your thoughts all morning long here. I think the thing that strikes me most about Kobe was that for his basketball accolades and success, it felt like he was going to do a post-playing career also better than anybody else. We got to see the entirety of his basketball. We did not get to see the entirety of what it was going to look like for Kobe to be a creator off of the floor and a father. And that feels, in a very selfish way, unfair. Because Kobe was very much unlike so many other athletes. And as you might imagine, I come across and have relationships and friendships and professional relationships with a lot of current athletes and former athletes. And I very much admire what it takes to be a professional athlete and the type of work ethic and commitment and how elite you need to be to do it at any professional level, whether you're a Hall of Famer or just a guy on the roster. But I do note how many athletes seem completely lost once the limelight is taken away and there is no real plan. There's trying a lot of things, but not knowing if anything will work, and really nothing ever living up to that, because how could anything live up to playing in front of 25,000 or 30,000 or 80,000 or whatever that is in person and be on TV and have all this scrutiny and pressure and intensity, but also adulation and applause? How could anything ever rise to that occasion? And obviously so many athletes do never find. They do not find anything even close, remotely close to that. And so they try some things and They have a general possible plan. I'll invest in this business and I'll open up this business, or I'll try this. I'll do some TV. I'll do some radio. And nothing ever is really that enriching for them. And for Kobe, it felt like his post-playing career could be as enriching, which is so impossibly unique for a guy that accomplished that, on the basketball floor. But writing children's books and creating animated series and creating television and digital content and coaching his daughter's basketball team and being an ambassador for the sport and kind of sharing his wisdom, it seemed like that really was as fulfilling for him. And I have to say that feels, again, so selfishly unfair that that was taken away from the world, that we don't get to know what Kobe's next 20 and 30 and 40 years of accomplishments were going to look like, because I think they were going to be awesome. I think they were going to be incredibly powerful. And he was just starting to scratch the surface of that. And then how tragically unfair it is that his family never gets to see him as a father for the rest of their lives. It's another crushing blow here, because it seemed like Kobe was a really amazing dad. You know, there's that clip from Jimmy Kimmel that's now gone viral, where Jimmy Kimmel asks him, you know, do you think that Gigi, your oldest daughter, would play in the WNBA someday? And he says, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And he says that a lot of people would come up to him and say, you know, you got to have a boy. You got to have a boy to carry on the legacy. And that his daughter, Gigi, would say, you know, yo, I got this. That she was more than ready to be the next Bryant and to have that mentality and to be a champion and a winner and a competitor and all of that. And it is so difficult to process that not only is Kobe not going to be there to witness that, but we won't be able to share that with Gigi and Kobe and that family, because Gigi was taken away as well. So yesterday is really difficult and powerful in a lot of ways that actually don't have to do with his basketball career. And I, all day yesterday, felt really physically ill. And I still can't quite shake that. So I appreciate everybody here today sharing their sentiments, because it helps. I think it helps everybody to talk through it together. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Jose is in Stockton, California, listening on 1140 to CBS Sports Radio there. Good morning, Jose.
Good morning to you, D.A. I'm a long-time listener. I work the hours you work. So, but the Kobe Bryant thing, let me say this. I heard what you said, and I appreciated 100% what you just explained. Kobe Bryant, you know, twins, legacy, you know, like I'm a Kings fan, you know. I moved to Sacramento in 1997 when Kobe Bryant was drafted, and I became a Kings fan, and you know, he killed us. But what I really liked about him was that, you know, the competitiveness. He was a man, you know. He didn't want to give up. You know, he wanted to beat you, right? So we had a question about this issue. Kobe Bryant himself brought it so many times that he was better than Jordan, or Jordan was better than him. I think And that's my own conclusion, that he answered that to us, that he was a better competitor than Michael Jordan, and he could not survive longer than he did. You know, he did so many beautiful things in the world, you know, like we admired everything. And there's millions of people die every day. You know, Kobe Bryant, the 26th, you know, like.
He accomplished a lot. You're right, Jose. He accomplished a lot. And the Michael Jordan comparisons were there when he was a youngster because he fancied himself as a Michael Jordan clone. And what 18-year-old says that, does that, embodies that. But that was a way for Kobe to push himself to his greatest heights. If he challenged himself to be Michael, to be as great as Michael, that was the way that he could get the most out of himself. I mean, he had all of these mind tricks for himself to keep pushing and to keep grinding and to elevate his own personal accomplishments and achievements. And that's what really set him apart, is that he was maniacal in his drive, and he had to figure out his own personal levers to pull to get that drive every single day for every practice, in every game, in every shot. And how do you do that? Well, you compare yourself to the greatest of all time and say, I'm going to be that. Even if you fall short, I'm going to be that. DJ is next up in Pennsylvania, listening on radio.com. Good morning, DJ.
Hey, good morning, DA. How you doing today?
I'm okay. This one hit me really hard like everybody else, so working my way through the morning.
I agree. Thanks for taking my call. So, man, I've been literally in tears ever since I found out the news. Kobe, to me, to say he was my favorite player, I mean, that's an understatement. As a kid, I mean, his jersey was the first one I ever bought. So I live in Northwest PA, and, of course, growing up watching the Lakers games, you know, they play on the West Coast. The game wouldn't be over till midnight, 1 o'clock here my time. So I used to do that all the time. About a month ago, I found out my wife and I are expecting our first child. And when my wife asked what I want to name our kid, I've been thinking about it for a long time. If I have a boy, I'm going to name him Kobe. I mean, that's what Kobe meant to me. And unfortunately, I didn't even get to meet him in person. But that's the kind of effect he's had not only on me, but people all around the world. He'll be greatly missed. And I want to send lots of love and thoughts and prayers out to his family and friends, as well as the other families involved. And thanks for taking my call. It means a lot for me today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, DJ, and congratulations on the new one on its way. Yeah, I think Kobe had an effect on people that we didn't even really know. I don't think I knew it. And especially for those that considered him their favorite player. But yesterday still does not feel real, does not feel tangible, does not feel like it quite happened. And today is kind of more of the same. But I appreciate very much everybody sharing their thoughts, because I do think that it helps everybody move forward and process. And it's the right time to honor, I mean, a person that meant so much to so many that never even had a chance to meet him. I never had a chance to meet him or have him on the show either, but it's been a pretty painful, glass-shattering last 18 hours. Vicky's next up in Maryland, listening on 1300 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Vicky.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for having this forum this morning for everybody to just share and pour out what they're feeling.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You know, you just nailed it on the head. You know, you don't realize the impact, you know, Kobe had on everybody until you're thinking about it. And, you know, my earliest memories of Kobe, I'm from Philly. I'm from the Main Line. Shout out to everybody who's listening up there. From my parents went to Lower Merion, where Kobe graduated. And I was, I worked at the ABC affiliate there with, you know, Gary Papa, Phil Andrews, the legendary sportscasters from that station. And, you know, I remember when the big news was Kobe, first of all, going straight to the NBA from high school, but taking Brandy to the prom, right? That was the big news back then.
Yeah.
So we flash forward, you know, and as a mom, I can't even imagine. I have four boys, and to have four girls and this and lose their father, and you know, the impact of all ages. I found out yesterday, I was ironically watching a girls' basketball game, and one of my 14-year-old son's friends is sitting there right in front of me, and he's just, his jaw is on the floor, and he's just 30 seconds completely still. And I was like, hey, you know, you all right? What's going on? He's like, this can't be true. And he shows me the news on TMZ, and, you know, we're all, everybody's thinking the same thing. This has to be spam. This can't be right. This, you know, TMZ got hacked, whatever. And we just couldn't believe it. And he had to leave the gym. I mean, it was those kids at that age group. I mean, that's how much Kobe impacted all generations. And it's just, you know, I want everybody to pray for their family, the girls, their, you know, Kobe's wife, everybody on that plane, on that helicopter. I just can't imagine how they're going to get through this. And, you know that Kobe's memory is going to be carried on through my kids and the next generation to come.
Yeah, well said, Vicky. Thanks for sharing that. I felt the same way. Yesterday, I did my Sunday morning show here, and my wife came in to work with me yesterday, and she had some things to do in the city, and so we were driving back home, and she got that text that story was out there, and I was driving, so I wasn't looking at my phone. My phone was off, and I said, well, that can't be true. Obviously, that's a fake report, and I just openly dismissed it. Well, that's not true. And I was thinking to myself about, well, boy, that's irresponsible. Can't believe that's out there. But, you know, there's all these kind of fake celebrity deaths that circulate on social media. And then when the report started coming in and my wife had them on her phone and she said, no, it's real. I clutched the steering wheel real hard. I said, well, it can't be real. It just can't. And I kind of couldn't quite process it. Again, I still don't think that I've quite processed it, but I had to pull over. And I'll never forget now where that exit was that I had to pull over before our exit and look at my phone and see the text messages rolling in from friends and looking on social media and reading up on the latest. And I just was in that, no, this can't be. No, how could this, oh my God, how could this possibly be? And I think that it's because Kobe was so much larger than life and he still had so much life ahead of him, and we were so blindsided by this, and it did not seem like anything could ever affect Kobe because he was invincible and he was the Mamba, and what could ever bring down the Mamba? Nothing. So for those that, you know, are of even a younger generation that grew up as Kobe as their idol, I could only imagine how impossible to process all of that is and how you would just need a moment, because I think we've all just needed a moment. I've kind of felt like I was on the verge of breaking down a couple of times over the last 18 hours or so. I just have kind of constantly been at that frequency where you're like, any little push this way or that way could break me a little bit. So that's why I appreciate everybody calling in today. It means a lot that you guys would share your thoughts here on the show. I think it really helps. So here's your phone number if you'd like to share them with us. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, or on Twitter, you can connect with me, DA on CBS. When we come back, I'd like to play DeMar DeRozan's audio from yesterday. DeRozan was very close to Kobe. DeRozan, an L.A. kid, and he had some emotional words yesterday about the passing of Kobe. So we'll play those coming up here next. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
Fans, the reaction from the fans, you know, the chanting, you know, the support, the encouragement. I mean, I was just really, really tired. It was just like, there's just no way. I got to continue to push it because, you know, the fan support was tremendous.
All we need now is for Kobe to score this possession, right? The roof is going to blow off this place.
Bryant spinning, ball away.
Posting and toasting, much to the delight of the crowd.
Growing up and watching all these great players play and learning so much from them,
to now be a part of that wall, you know, means everything to me.
Remembering Kobe Bryant today here on the DA Show, I thank you for being with us on a very difficult day for everybody. I think it helps to be together on a day like today, and I consider you guys my friends and family. So I think part of the reason that Kobe resonated with so many people was because of the art form he turned basketball into. There's something very inspirational about watching an artist, and I think the way that he played basketball became an art. That there was something very beautiful about his fall away, something very beautiful about his defense, something very beautiful, aesthetically pleasing about his style of play. He wasn't a clunky lunchbox, hard hat type of player. He was an artist. And we saw that in his post-playing career as he created art in terms of television shows and book writing, storytelling. Maybe that's what resonates, is that it wasn't that we just lost a basketball player. We lost an artist. Doing More brought to you by the Home Depot. Everything that you need to do. Project smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot. How doers get more done. Trae Young, last night, wore number 8 jersey during the early moments of the game in honor of Kobe. He ends up dropping 45 and 14 last night. Trae Young, 45 points, 14 assists. Had a half-court heave as well at halftime, right before halftime, as the Hawks beat the Wizards 152-133. Trae Young said after the game about Kobe, he's always going to be looking out for me. Considered Kobe a mentor. Ben tweets in today, DA, my brother-in-law last year donated all of his jerseys from when he was a kid to my son. Yesterday we went through that collection and hung Kobe's jersey, quote, in the rafters last night to honor one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen in my lifetime. Hashtag RIP Mamba. And he sent me a picture of hanging Kobe's jersey from the second floor overhang at his house from the stairwell. So as you walk under the stairs to the kitchen, you see Kobe's jersey hanging. Pretty cool. Harold tweets, I'm like you, DA, can't process yesterday. As a father, just can't get out of my head the image of him and Gigi. Let's play DeMar DeRozan from yesterday. DeRozan was very close with Kobe.
Words can't explain it, man. For myself, learning everything I've learned basketball-wise from Kobe, what he meant to the game, the inspiration that he brought to the world. Not just that, his daughter. I'm a father. Can't imagine something like that, you know, happening. I mean, it's sad, very sad.
Outpouring of emotion from everybody around the NBA last night, especially the players that grew up watching him and idolizing him. Charles is next up. He's in Houston, listening on 650 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Charles.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
All right. Fighting my way through it. How you doing?
Yeah, doing all right. Still just thinking about it. It's pretty crazy. Like you said earlier, it's kind of like, is this really happening? Like, am I really talking to you about this? It doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is with Kobe, I grew up, you know, the tail end of Jordan era, and I could say I watched him, sure, but I grew up with Kobe. Grew up watching him from, you know, the beginning. So a lot of basketball fans, you know, of course there's different ages, but that's the reason I've gripped to him is I grew up watching him. I grew up basically hating him. Somebody echoed earlier, you know, he was so good, you just wanted to beat him, but still appreciated what he did. I'm going to kind of reverse on that. I wanted to beat him so bad, I hated him every time. And the funny thing is like, you know, compare him to, like, say, a villain in a movie. If they're a good actor, they're selling you on hating him, right? Kobe, man, I just wanted to beat him so bad every time. But it was like the joy of hating him almost, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I wasn't a fan of the L.A. Lakers. I wasn't a fan of Kobe, but yet I recognized what he did, and it was like, I just wanted to be him so bad. You're just so involved with Kobe. And then, like you said earlier, too, it's kind of funny. The farewell season, the last season, he did, it seemed like things kind of twisted around. He became a new person. And it's like everything that I did, it was like turned to appreciation completely. And, man, I mean, just I became a Kobe fan his last year. And it's just, you know, I think it's just such a big thing, man. I mean, it's affecting so many people. But it shows how much of an impact he had. And you also said, you know, what could have happened the next 20, 30 years. I bet he could have just, you know, he would have made such more of an impact, and it's just sad that we're not going to get to see that.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, Charles. Thank you for the sentiments. Thank you for the thoughts. I thought that. I thought, boy, it was going to be really exciting to watch what his next 30 years had in store, because he was attacking that post-playing career like he attacked his playing career. That final season where he went on his retirement tour was an amazing turn. It was an amazing anti-heel turn where the bad guy, the villain, became the hero, became the embraceable old guy, the lion in winter. That was a pretty wild thing because, I mean, Kobe was such a villain for non-Laker fans for so long. And he'd seemingly pushed away everybody, you know, teammates, coaches included, and was so intense about everything that he did that to see a soft, warm, and fuzzy Kobe at the end was really heartwarming and attractive and magnetic. And I think the thing that to me resonates quite a bit about Kobe was it became very obvious that he was so thankful, so appreciative of his life. And I think sometimes we look at athletes and go, boy, you guys have no idea how good you got it. No idea. And maybe we're wrong in that, to project that on somebody. We don't know what their life is like. But I think because of the money, because of the fame, because they get to play what we consider a kid's game, we assume that they don't appreciate just how much that they got out of it. And here was Kobe, who had kind of pushed away everybody for so long. I mean, Phil Jackson wrote a book about basically retiring because he couldn't take coaching Kobe. And Kobe came full circle and just appreciated and said thank you to everybody that his career through basketball, that his life through basketball, that Los Angeles, that the league, that opposing fans, he was so grateful for all of it. I mean, he even was grateful for Boston as a city, as a fan base. I mean, and the Celtics and Lakers rivalry was at such a heated, fevered pitch when they went to those two NBA finals against one another. And Kobe just seemed to appreciate everything. And that evolution of a person, I think, is really magnetic and really just makes you want to be with that person and to root for that person. And that's why I think everything flipped. It was no longer some type of me against the world from Kobe. It was a thank you to the world. How often do we ever see that from any human being? And he did it almost overnight, seemingly. And I don't think it was an act, because he seemed to believe that and act that way for the last couple of years after retirement. So it was almost impossible not to be drawn into that orbit. What a shattering day yesterday. I appreciate everybody's calls and tweets, and I'd like more of them. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. It's a difficult day for everybody, so hearing from everybody, I think that community really helps today. When we return here on the show, Ernie Johnson, who has an amazing way with the words and is kind of the mouthpiece, the voice, and a very thoughtful, educated, intelligent, warm way of the NBA, had thoughts on Kobe. I want to play for those from EJ coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. This morning, a difficult morning for everybody. And Andrew Bogus is standing by with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, these headlines are sponsored by the NFL. NFL Network is your home for the most playoff coverage anywhere, all the way through Super Bowl 54. NFL Network, one network, all postseason long. It is just unbelievable that we lost Kobe Bryant at all, but especially the morning after LeBron passed him for third all-time in scoring.
A 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid being able to make that leap, that's pretty damn cool. And as I started playing more ball and I went into high school, the things that he was doing on the floor, admired and wanted to be a part of.
It was all love from LeBron on Saturday night, then the heartbreak of yesterday. LeBron and the Lakers were told of Kobe's passing as they flew home from Philadelphia. News cameras then caught LeBron in tears on the tarmac back in L.A. Now, some have criticized the NBA for playing its eight games yesterday. Others, like Damian Lillard, thought they should have been out there.
Everybody, you know, felt the way today. You know, it was hurt today. You know, we had to carry on. So I think it was the right decision for us to go out there and compete in his honor. You know, I think that's what he would have wanted.
Lillard scored 50 in a 139-129 victory over the Pacers. Madison Square Garden held a 24-second silence to honor Kobe pregame. Lights inside and outside of the building were purple and gold. The Knicks beat the Nets 110-97. The Clippers won in Orlando 112-97. And the Pelicans beat the Celtics 123-108. New Orleans gets its first win in three tries with Zion. He had 21 points and 11 rebounds in 27 minutes. We are far away from knowing exactly what happened in Calabasas yesterday. Based on clips from air traffic control, the pilot was trying to climb above clouds and fog when something happened and the copter crashed. Conditions were poor enough that LAPD had grounded its two helicopters that would normally be in that area. The Chiefs and Niners arrived in Miami yesterday for Sunday's Super Bowl. Shortly after the AFC beat the NFC again in the Pro Bowl, the 38-33 final in Orlando extends the AFC's winning streak to four. Lamar Jackson and Calais Campbell picked MVPs. Rafael Nadal fought off Nick Kyrgios in four sets in their Australian Open fourth-round match. Baseball hot stove, the Boston Globe, says the Red Sox are still engaged with the Dodgers and the Padres on a Mookie Betts trade. The All-Star outfielder is in play because free agency looms after this coming season. And Tiger Woods finishes at 9-under, tied for ninth at Torrey Pines. Mark Leishman won by a shot over Jon Rahm. D.A.?
Thanks, Andrew. When we come back, Ernie Johnson will play for you his tribute to Kobe. He's always amazing with words, so we'll hear from E.J. coming up next. And as I mentioned, I'd like and appreciate as much of you guys on today's show as possible because I think it makes it a little bit easier for everybody to process when we're all together in this. So the phone number is open at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. This is the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's not about my jerseys that are hanging up there for me. You know, it's about the jerseys that were hanging up there before. You know, without them, I couldn't be here today. They inspired me to play the game at a high level. Magic, Cap, Shaq pushing me every day. Baylor, Chamberlain, Goodrich, West, Worthy, it goes on and on.
20 from the line and an 81-point game. 55 in the second half. Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed the second greatest scoring performance in NBA history.
It's really, really tough for me. I think 24 was more challenging. And, you know, I tend to gravitate to things that are harder to do. And physically for me, it was really, really hard to get up night in and night out, man. It was really, really, it's a grind. Taking on the Boston Celtics, having a bone fragment in my foot during that series, having a broken finger, and, you know, muscling through that back half of the career. Some of the toughest stretches of basketball ever, man. And so I guess if you force me to pick one, I'd probably go with 24 because of that.
Kobe Bryant on his two lives with two different numbers, number 8, early part of his career, number 24 to end his career. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Damon Amendolara, as we remember the life and career of Kobe. This weekend, party on the green with one of the most electric crowds of the PGA Tour. Watson, Fowler, Spieth, DeChambeau, just some of the names that will be competing at the Waste Management Phoenix Open beginning at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, only on CBS. Let's play Ernie Johnson, the longtime host of the NBA on Turner, the NBA on TNT, and his thoughts last night via CNN of the passing of Kobe.
I'm just at a loss, and all of us are. And to see it at the age of 41 and a guy with so much going for him, not just talking about basketball skills. I'm just saying this guy, he gets it and yeah. Had wonderful plans for his family and his daughters. And that's just very tough.
Kobe gave the world a lot in his playing career to remember, to honor, to salute, but only began to scratch the surface of his post-playing career, and of course, as a dad. And it was really difficult yesterday to hear the quotes that Kobe had about his daughter that also passed away yesterday, Gigi, about her competitiveness and her desire and her personality to wear the Mamba mentality as a family code of honor, and to know that she left us even far too soon as well. That yesterday just was about all types of impossibilities that were hard to process. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico this morning. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Joseph's in Houston listening on 650 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, DA. Man, what a loss. My thoughts and prayers out to those families touched by all these, loss of life. Nine families are going to be deeply impacted. Kobe Bryant was definitely one of the most prolific basketballers that will ever play the game. That being said, I grew up in Detroit and was raised in Houston, so I got to see a lot of him in the playoffs, and he was remarkable. He was one of those guys that I would wear, my home team jersey, but I enjoyed, embraced, his compassion for the game at all times and aspects. I didn't really, I wasn't a huge fan of his, maybe quietly, because he was remarkable. But the fact that he was 41, and I think most men in this age group are trying to make an impact more so on their children and that are coming behind them and people around them and what they can contribute back into society. We're going to miss a lot of that, what he was going to be even greater than he was on the court. It's just a sad day, D.A. Again, my thoughts and prayers go out to those families. I hope we can get past this, man. He was a great guy, turning into a great man. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you for the call there, Joseph. I think that was the double gut punch yesterday, was that not only did we remember what he was as a basketball player, but he was very obviously evolving into a really high level of human being. I mean, you could just tell, and not that Kobe was without flaws. Obviously, he had his legal trouble in Eagle, Colorado, and he drove people away because of how intense he was and how caustic and how biting he was at his apex in terms of competitiveness and how he dealt with other people, but that he had developed and evolved into quite the guy, just seemingly warm and appreciative and gracious and giving of his time and creative and inspired and a great dad. And he had just developed into what is amazingly a totally different Kobe Bryant. And so when he was on the floor in the middle of his basketball career, he was the very best Kobe Bryant in terms of competitiveness that he knew how to be. And then after that race was over, he developed into a totally different Kobe. And so it's like we lost two of them. Justin's next up in Pennsylvania, listening to 96.5 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, D. Just wanted to say real quick that I love the show, obviously. My morning revolves around you guys. But, I'm the farthest from a basketball fan. My basketball knowledge is from in between football and baseball highlights and hockey highlights. It struck me when I found out that he had a 7-month-old little girl. I myself just had a little girl. She's 6.5 months. And I'm not a basketball fan, like I said, but this thing really smacked me in the pills. It's very difficult, and just sports world in general today is hurting really, really bad. Around here, we bleed black and gold, but today we're going to be bleeding gold and purple, because if you're a sports fan, then you have to love and respect what he did on the court.
Yeah, well said. Thanks, Justin. Well said. I think that Kobe's passing, you know, forced everybody to just put aside their personal loyalties to a certain team, certain franchise, and just emote, embrace Kobe and his career. And I think it's interesting because, like I said to open up the show, there's a lot of athletes that pass all the time. I mean, we have these remembrances at the end of every year, almost like the Oscars, those who we have lost. Now, of course, when it happens at this age, 41 years old, it's like you have so much more of your life to lead. So that makes it really difficult. But Kobe also had a different impact on people than your average athlete, even your average Hall of Fame athlete. There was a different type of impact that he had. And I think it was multi-layered. I think part of it was that he drove himself harder than we've seen almost any athlete drive themselves. It was very obvious. I think because he was a winner, he was also an artist in the way that he approached his craft. And then also because he had evolved into a really warm type of embraceable human being by the end, that all of those things made it really tough to get the news yesterday, and still is. I'm still a little bit of a walking zombie, I will admit. Ronald's next up in Florida, listening to 97.1 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, D.A., how you doing, man? How you doing? All right. Day yesterday, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple of points. If you would, please, just give me a couple of minutes. First of all, we're talking a transcendent athlete. Kobe Bryant, coming out of high school, and I'm going to get a little cultural here. Kobe Bryant coming out of high school, he is what we as black men needed the world to see. His eloquence, you know, the way he carried himself, his vernacular, very well spoken. We needed the world to see Kobe Bryant. Now, Kobe Bryant, I remember this guy, I think it was the Warriors, maybe 2016. This guy pops his Achilles, dude, gets up, walks to the free throw line, drops two free throws, no rim, walks to the bench. He was the ultimate competitor. As a fan, this is all you can ask, that you leave it all on your respective field of play. Kobe Bryant was great, sir. He will be great at this. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure, Ronald. Well said. I appreciate your thoughts on that. Yeah, Kobe meant a lot to a lot of people. He meant a lot to Laker fans. He meant a lot to basketball fans. Meant a lot to African Americans. Meant a lot to the international fans. Kobe's most intense fans might actually be in China. I mean, Kobe is a godlike, or was a godlike presence in China because of his work overseas in growing the game and his brand and his basketball camps. And he was also developing into an ambassador for women's sports and women's basketball in the WNBA. And he had all these different camps that cared about him for different reasons. And it's so obvious today when you gain some context and some perspective and some distance from it of why there's such an outpouring of emotion. But, you know, over the course of the last number of hours that we've been processing this, that's why it is so difficult. And you wonder, wow, why is this so much different than so many other athletes? And I think that's it, that he meant different things to different people for so long that all of these different camps, demographics across society feel the same way, but for different reasons. It's a remarkable legacy to leave behind. And I can't shake how sad I am. When we come back here on the show, we'll hear from Dwayne Wade as we continue the legacy of Kobe Bryant.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.